You're welcome back to The Late Debate with Cormac O'Hara. Joining me in studio this evening is Lucinda Creighton, TD with the Reform Alliance, Niall Collins, TD of Fianna Fáil, Bernard Durkin, Fine Gael, TD in Kildare North, Mary Minahan of the Irish Times, and Professor Gary Murphy, who lectures in political science in DCU. You can contact the programme by text in 51551, email latedebate@rte.ie, and you can follow us on Twitter at latedebaterte. Well, despite there being serious parliamentary business on the agenda today, the Dáil was suspended for a lengthy period because, wait till you hear this, if you haven't heard it already, because of a row about speaking rights. Have a listen to our parliament.
Deputy Cowan. Sorry, you made your point, Deputy Cowan. Thank you. Sorry, Deputy Halligan, will you stop shouting?
I'm not shouting. I'm only saying
that. Deputy, would you ever read your standing orders? Deputy Cowan, thank you. Deputy Cowan, thank you. Deputy Cowan. Deputy Cowan, I am not interfering. Deputy, resume your seat.
I know what some of you are thinking. Thank you very much indeed, Cormac, for giving us that just before we go to bed at 11 o'clock. But there is a serious question here, because hovering in the background is the possibility that Lucinda Creighton and co may establish a new political party. Now, Lucinda Creighton, when we have that in our parliament, when we have Fine Gael having their own problems of late, being accused of cronyism, Fianna Fáil have had their problems, Sinn Féin this week have had their problems, is it not time for once and for all, finally, to set up a new party?
Well, that's not just a question for me. That's a question, I think, for a lot of people. But I certainly think that there is room, and I think there is a need for a new party, for a new type of politics. And I've said repeatedly that I don't want to run as an independent in the next election. I don't really, I mean, no disrespect to independents. I am one currently. But my view is that it's much better to try to work with like-minded people to put forward a vision for the country.
The problem for you is you've been saying that for so long now. People have kind of tuned out almost.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to do my job as a TD. It's been very difficult. And the row in the Dáil today, I mean, on the one hand, is something, in my view, that should be resolved outside of the chamber. It's something that, you know, TDs should be able to sit down and discuss in an adult fashion and work out with the clerk of the Dáil, with the Ceann Comhairle, with each other, first and foremost. But there is a really serious issue in terms of how dysfunctional our parliament is. It's very difficult for non-aligned TDs to get speaking time. It's very difficult. I mean, I spent 3 hours at the Finance Committee this afternoon, not being recognised by the Oireachtas,
Listen, I come back to the point. We have heard that again and again and again from you. And we have.
Do you not think it's a serious issue, though?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is.
But you come back to the table time and again with nothing in terms of a proposal for a new party. Well, you've had a monster meeting in January of this year, and afterwards you said it's good to think and have a group in and think in. Nothing since. Have you stopped thinking about a new party since?
No.
Where's the progress?
The point is, well, firstly, Cormac, and I said this at the time, and I said it, I'm sure, on this programme, that wasn't about launching a party. It was about trying to engage with people, trying to bring new ideas and new thinking into the public sphere. And that's what elected representatives should be doing. And we have launched policy ideas since then. My colleagues and I have launched a number of policy ideas, including on fundamental reform of the Oireachtas, on fundamental reform of the political system, new proposals on how to deal with the boom-bust property cycle that has been inflicted on this state, and which is, by the way, being reinstated by some of the measures included in the budget last week. They're the issues that matter to people.
But I put it to you that Fine Gael, the likes of Niall Collins and Bernard Durkin, must be smiling like Cheshire cats at your lack of progress, because they're saying to themselves, there may be a need for a political party, but if Lucinda can't decide on setting up a new party, how in the name of God could she decide on national issues?
You know what, Cormac? I'm well able to decide, and I'm well able to make up my mind, and others can make up their own mind. There is no election. Just let me finish the point. There is no election for another 18 months. And I think if we spend all our time obsessing with being obsessed with the next election and, you know, winning seats in the Dáil, and we'll all be making the exact same mistakes that every other political party has made. I think it's important that we actually do our jobs as TDs, and I think it is a major problem when TDs are not allowed to do their job by the government parties, by the standing orders and by decisions in the Oireachtas, by the people, the whips and others who can make those decisions.
I'll bring in Niall Collins in a second, but you said in The Independent in January, we thought new year, new political ideas, the timing seems right. This is not about any one individual, but about being a vehicle for new thinking.
Exactly.
We're still waiting for the bus. We're waiting for the vehicle.
No, but we have put forward new thinking. We have put forward ideas and we'll continue to do it. You know, I think that there's a media frenzy that there must be a political party today and it must be announced. And, you know, I'm sure the next step would be to try and tear it apart. I'm not dancing to anybody else's tune. You know, it's my intention to offer people something tangible to vote for at the next election. But that's 18 months away.
Bernard
in the meantime,
Durkin,
I'm doing my job.
Are you living in fear of a new political force at the behest of Lucinda Creighton, being driven by Lucinda Creighton and her coal?
I think that, you know, this kind of situation has arisen many times in the past. Every so often, somebody calls for a new political party in order to address the issues that weren't addressed before. Frankly, I don't accept that.
That's somewhat dismissive, isn't it?
I believe that we have represented in our parliament at the present time people of the right, the left and the centre on both sides of the House. And I think that the people, in their wisdom, one way or the other, voted in that to bring that about. I think that there is a difference. There are those who went forward for election as independents and those who went forward for election as members of other parties who now, for one reason or other, find themselves also as independents. But it doesn't necessarily follow that the House should reconfigure in order to ensure that particular or special notice is given to any one group or body. Because remember this, in our present Parliament, the only group of people who get least recognition are the backbenchers on the government side. They're the only people who don't have leaders' questions. They're the only people who don't have an issue to raise on Taoiseach questions or the order of business, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and they rely on their leader and on the front bench to give leadership. Now, Fine Gael, when you look at Fine Gael as a political entity in the last 3 years and the promises that were made, Bernard Durkin, of new politics and a political revolution, has Fine Gael and Fine Gael leadership failed to deliver that? And thus, is there a need for a new political force?
I have to say this. They haven't failed to deliver.
Really?
In actual fact, what the two parties, Fine Gael and Labour, have done is they've done the impossible. Because nobody expected, including the outgoing parties at the time, that it would be possible to survive in the economic climate.
They haven't failed to deliver new politics. Is that what you're saying?
They have delivered the major issue.
Really?
There was one single issue.
The Magnolty affair, for example.
No.
What about allegations?
You're missing the major issue.
The major issue I put to you was new politics.
All right.
Reform.
Well, I'll tell you what about reform. There was only one issue that this country needed 3.5 years ago. One issue that the public voted for, and let there be no doubt in anybody's mind.
That is wrong.
Because I can assure you,
I've campaigned in many elections.
I stood for election on numerous occasions. And I can assure you that I made no promises. And the general public didn't expect me to make any promises, and I didn't. New politics was to govern the country in a responsible manner.
That's not what you said three years ago.
You may well disagree with it. The record shows you're wrong. Don't forget that. Well, it doesn't show that I'm wrong. In actual fact, Bill Clinton was the man who first coined the phrase, "It's the economy, stupid."
Niall Collins.
And the people of this country recognised that and
have,
voted.
Did we not
for,
have promises
voted
of new
for
politics.
A government that was responsible in order to bring the national ship ashore?
Niall Collins.
Absolutely, we had a promise of new politics, and they've abjectly failed to deliver that. I think that is beyond doubt, and you couldn't argue in any credible or coherent manner that the government have lived up to that promise. And you were part of that promise too, Bernard. If you were a Fine Gael candidate, you were part of it. We've now just passed the first anniversary of the Shannon referendum, and we had a whole debate right throughout the Shannon referendum in relation to political reform, and we still have stagnation. And you can't come in here, Bernard, and say that the most disadvantaged parliamentarians are the government backbenchers. Why don't the government backbenchers change it?
Absolutely.
Why doesn't Parliament take control of its own affairs, and why doesn't your Taoiseach and your government release Parliament from its iron-like grip?
Bernard,
that is the whole central problem within the Irish political system of the Parliament. The government is dictating and the government is controlling.
I have to tell you, that may well have applied to Fianna Fáil, because I, at the very first parliamentary party in the life of this Dáil,
does that make
stood
it right?
up before our party
does
and
that
said
make
that
it
the
right?
Fianna Fáil
no,
backbenchers failed. And they did.
Yeah, and you're and the you're, Fine Gael, and you're the failing Fine Gael, as well.
No, and we're not failing.
You are.
We
failing.
Have delivered
you're both
on the major.
Each other as
the
failures.
Major. Nah, well, I can tell you, very few people now like would get away with that allegation anyway. But anyway, we won't go down that road. I can just simply say this. We have achieved our targets on every single economic issue that we were allegedly or incapable of meeting. So we did.
And you've achieved no targets in relation to political reform, and you can go right down along the
it's
line.
It's not about political reform.
You campaigned on a huge campaign and platform of political reform, which you have delivered absolutely very, very little of substance.
Well, we did.
In relation to Lucinda Creighton and the forming of a political, if she forms a political party, the best of luck to her. And I wish her well if she does. And if she doesn't,
but she could
the best
of
luck to her.
An awful lot of Fianna Fáil support.
But the point is, in relation to the audio clip that we just listened to, the public are disgusted with what they heard in the Dáil today, because it is a waste of taxpayers' money. It is a waste of valuable parliamentary time. The Dáil did not transact any business today, and I think the public are right to be concerned about that. And you know what's at the centre of this?
Discuss it at what in particular?
Lucinda Creighton isn't to blame for what happened today. Lucinda Creighton is looking for speaking time through the technical group. You have a huge degree of snobbery within the current complement of the technical group, who don't want to admit Lucinda Creighton or who don't want to recognise her and afford her speaking time. That is the problem. You have a cabal of independents made up of a ragbag of all sorts of people with all sorts of views who don't want to facilitate Lucinda Creighton and some of her colleagues as independents into the technical group. And you have this phony argument about resources that she's not prepared or they're not prepared to pay into a fund. They can't. Their money is committed elsewhere, and that's a different debate.
Well, that's something I asked Catherine Murphy about, and she was quite aggrieved at that, Lucinda Creighton, before I bring in Mary Murphy. But hold on a second. This thing about the money, can you explain to me? Because I was talking to her on this programme, she said that you weren't willing or you didn't have the money or something to pay into Secretary of
Service.
It's not
a question of being willing or not willing. Each independent TD, besides those who've been expelled from their former parties, receives a €41,000 bonus, if you like, called a leader's allowance annually. And they pay €280 of that into a fund to pay for a staff member. Obviously, I don't receive that €41,000 a year. Mm. Fine Gael receives approximately €40,000 in my name every year on my behalf to spend on me. But obviously, they don't spend it on me. They'll spend it against me in my constituency or wherever. So I'm not in a position to pay into that fund, and that's the simple truth of the matter. And Niall is right. I wasn't involved in any of that.
You have quite a large salary as a TD, though. You have quite a large salary as a TD.
Well, I have, and I have a parliamentary allowance, and it's already spent, frankly, for this year. I work very hard in my constituency. All of my expenses are vouched. I was just audited independently by Mazars for my expenditure in 2013. I spent above and beyond my parliamentary allowance last year, and I'm already well above it this year. So I simply don't have the resources to do that.
And
just to reiterate the point, the other independent TDs receive €41,000 each per year, so they can afford it.
And Fine Gael is still using Lucinda's 41,000, Bernard.
I think there's some procedure. That's not a deliberate thing in relation to Lucinda. There's a procedure whereby the people who get elected under a banner remain that way, and the party remains that way until the next general election. The 41,000 is no longer 41,000 for the independents who get elected as independents first. It's now 37,000 since the new
Act.
It's
still a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Fine Gael. Is it really Fine Gael's?
I'm not talking about the Fine Gael. We get 37,000 less than an independent gets into their hand. We as party people, both Fianna Fáil, okay, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, the independents get it into their hand, and they can spend it at their own discretion.
Okay, I want to bring in Mary Menahan and Gary Murphy, but I have a huge number of texts, 51551, relating to Lucinda Creighton. Very interesting. I'll read some of them. Mick says, well said, Lucinda, you'll be your first female Taoiseach. Eamon says, I agree with Lucinda that the whip system needs reform. Patrick in Dublin says, the next general election could be a lot closer than Lucinda Creighton thinks. A month ago, I would have said that this government will last till 2016, but the Irish water saga is strong enough to collapse it all. Brendan says, with all due respect to Lucinda, she is not an independent TD. She is a Fine Gael one. If she wants to be independent with separate speaking time, she should resign her seat and contest the by-election.
Well, I'm not a Fine Gael TD. I mean, the eyes of the Oireachtas, the eyes of the standing orders and so on, I am an independent TD. I'm not a Fine Gael. I'm not a member of Fine Gael. I mean, you can argue that I should resign my seat and cause a by-election. My argument is very simply that I was elected as a Fine Gael TD. I upheld promises made by my former party before the last election. The party didn't. So why should I resign?
But there was coalition. There had to be compromise. That's what the party will say.
Well, that's not what the party said before the general election. They said it was a non-negotiable issue.
OK, Gary Murphy, in terms of political reform and going back to what Bernard Durkin says, it's only the economy, stupid. Is that fair? Is that a fair appraisal? Or has this government, has this parliament lacked political leadership to drive reform?
No, it's not a fair comment, because the reason our economy is bust, and I've said this many times before and I'll say it again, is because our politics was broken. At its simple level, this economy failed because there wasn't significant political oversight on a whole range of issues, and you can talk about regulation of the banks, but there's a whole range of issues where our politics failed and our economy failed. And I was part of a group of academics who, in a pro bono way, at the last general election, ranked all political parties in terms of their manifestos on what we thought was a good political reform agenda. We thought Fine Gael came out first. I remember there were some accusations of us being sort of, you know, blue shirt stooges or political stooges of Fine Gael, which is completely ludicrous. But the point was, I thought they had a very good document in 2010, New Politics, translates into their general election manifesto. There have been some achievements, certainly, Cormac, and it would be wrong to say there's not. There's a good regulation of lobbying bill, which I think will be good. There is some whistleblower legislation, FOI legislation, although it's had to be dragging and screaming out of them, and gender quotas. But there's so much more that could have been done. And in, as regard, I think Niall is quite right, the fiasco that we had to put up with today really, I think, gives the lie to substantive political form of the Dáil. We have the most centralised assembly in Western Europe in the Dáil. It is simply a centralised, nigh on Stalinist
okay,
assembly in terms
enough.
Of the way the government controls the agenda.
Is there demand, Mary Menahan, for a new political force?
True. That's not true.
Yeah, I think it's extraordinary that there's no new political party being set up at this time. Yes, as Lucinda says, journalists love the concept of a new party. You know, it's such an exciting story. But really, after an unprecedented economic collapse like we've had, there's got to be a gap in the market, you would think. And there's that growing sense of, you know, a plague on all your houses, where people are just totally disillusioned with the mainstream parties and are looking for a new outlet. In fairness to Lucinda, I think she has, you know, set out her stall as best she can at this stage. And, you know, she's dependent on other people coming forward, wanting to join the Reform Alliance, if that will ever become a party. But, you know, time is running out. You want a good run-in time to the election. And Lucinda is talking about 18 months. I wouldn't, like your texture there, I wouldn't be entirely
but
certain
hold on.
Of that
is,
at all.
Is Fianna Fáil and the Socialist Party and Sinn Féin, are they not filling the gap?
Are they though?
That's my question.
I'm not convinced, and I think Lucinda's probably heard me say this before, I'm not convinced there is this famous gap on the right. We did have the PDs, remember, and we all know what happened to them. You know, and having a political party, as Lucinda well knows, you know, forming one is difficult work. First of all, you need candidate recognition. Lucinda, I think, will probably be re-elected, certainly in her constituency, and Peter Matthews, a few others, whoever. But getting candidate recognition on the ground is a big thing in Irish politics. And this is one of the reasons we didn't get a raft of candidates who decided to run at the last minute in the 2011 general election. And there are significant financial implications to running a campaign. You cannot run a political campaign of 3 to 4 weeks of a campaign, but then prior to that, without significant monies, which are very difficult to raise.
About the filling the gap, the other parties filling the gap. I mean, look at the by-elections there. It's extraordinary that the two big opposition parties couldn't secure victories in the by-elections, you know, in Dublin and in Roscommon. And it was kind of Independence and Others Day, if you like, you know. I mean, it's amazing. At the time when the government was so unpopular with Irish Water and so on, that the two big opposition
and the political parties listen to Creighton, over the last number of, if you take 6 months, all of the established parties have been dragged through the mud in some way or the other on some issue or another. Now, what I want to ask you is there a gap? Do you see a gap? And if so, how do you define that gap? on what issues and in who are you directed at?
I think, well, yes, I do see a gap, and I would summarise it in two things, and I absolutely agree with Gary that, you know, we try to decouple the need for political reform with the economy, and you can't, because they're completely melded together, and the reason for the economic collapse is directly linked to our dysfunctional politics. So I think that what needs to happen is there needs to be a new economic vision that is not a repeat of the Fianna Fáil economic vision of the last 15, 20 years, which was based on stimulating a property bubble and over-reliance on foreign direct investment, but and pretty much ignoring the domestic indigenous economy and small business. So we have seen the erosion of small business, family businesses across communities right across Ireland, and that is something that has to be addressed as a matter of priority.
Fianna Fáil was that's practical politics. People need jobs quickly. FDI provides it.
And they pull out just as quickly. That's the reality. That's FDI is extremely important, but the vast majority of people in Ireland are employed in small enterprise, and there's massive, massive opportunity to grow it. And in fact, a very interesting statistic where you see there's been a big increase in the number of small businesses in Ireland. In fact, the number of self-employed people employing other people has actually declined since 2011. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is a dramatic, radical overhaul of our political system.
Bernard Durkin and Niall Collins.
And that's where the gap in the
there you've heard it. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have a flawed political
first
model.
First of all, the suggestion that the foreign direct investment is an enemy is not
true.
No,
I didn't say that.
Wait a second.
I said there's an over-reliance.
The number of people have said in recent times, you know, that we need to get back to the small businesses, small industries. That's true. We need to do that as well, the indigenous industry. And that's being done, has been favoured and encouraged all the time. But we need what is also known as an anchor tenant. If you have a shopping centre or something like that, you need the anchor tenant. And I repeat what I said once before. I visited Stuttgart, in Mercedes in Stuttgart, 1986, and here we were thinking in my own constituency at the time of getting the small indigenous industries off the ground, but they had a big one. They had 20,000 people working in the same plant, and they had an anchor tenant, and it was
that's absolutely my point, because it's an indigenous business. What we are doing is we're creating small business. We're not providing any incentives to invest in those businesses to scale up. They're being sold off. So if we have a successful tech business or whatever in this country, there isn't enough money available. Banks can't do it. It has to be done through venture capital. There are no incentives
Glenn
in place.
Dimplix.
If you have, and did you hear the chief executive?
The chief executive, I heard him as well.
Glenn Dimplix
is a classic example of a small indigenous industry.
And we have about five of them in this country, Bernard, because essentially when we have a successful model, it is sold off to a US or other multinational, because we cannot scale them up.
And if you
look at where we have put incentives, just in since 2011, if we just go back to the current government, where we have put incentives to invest in capital for people who are wealthy, who have money to invest, the incentives have all been in property.
Okay, can I just draw your attention, Bernard Durkin and Niall Collins, to some of our texts, because if the general trend of the country listening to the programme tonight is anything to go by, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael could be in trouble if Lucinda Creighton sets up another party. Listen to some of the texts. Lucinda is the only one that will lead us to an honest, straightforward Ireland, and good luck to her. She's very much admired. Bernard claims credit for doing what the Troika required. The moment the Troika left, the Fine Gael bicycle lost its stabilisers, and they've hurtled from one mismanaged controversy to the next, says Donal. Another texter says, Aidy and Sandymount, Lucinda's a great constituency TD and will get re-elected in any guise. And another texter, Niall Collins, says, we hope Lucinda will be leader of our country at the next election. Eileen and Kerry. Has Lucinda touched on a nerve? Is the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael model politically flawed?
Absolutely not, and I don't accept Lucinda's analysis. This country was brought to the brink of economic collapse because we didn't have proper regulation of our banking sector. We got into a situation where the property bubble built up and we had a financial collapse centred around our whole banking industry. We know that there was poor regulation, parliamentary oversight wasn't in place, and there's a banking inquiry which is going to play out.
That's part of her point. Who allowed that?
Well, Lucinda also stated incorrectly.
Who allowed that? Answer that question.
We know who allowed it.
Yeah, but you're speaking here as if you didn't have anything to do with it.
We know who allowed it. By the way, I was never in government. I'm a member of Fianna Fáil.
Your party, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Lucinta is wrong to say that Fianna Fáil policy in relation to foreign direct investment was wrong, and indeed national policy right over the years in this country to attract in foreign direct investment into this country was absolutely right. And she is also wrong to say that Fianna Fáil didn't support the SME sector. We absolutely
what
did.
What about an
You're talking about a gap in
an
the market.
An over-reliance on foreign direct investment.
There is a gap in the market for somebody who perceives that there's a gap in the market. You have a lot of people attracted to independence at the moment because independence in the main, and this doesn't apply to Lucinta Creighton, I will preface by saying, but we have a lot of independents who are now occupying the populist high political moral ground on every issue. They're offering opposition to everything. They're not offering credible or sustainable alternatives. They are against everything which is populist to be against.
So you're saying it's more popular to be an independent than being in an established party at the moment?
Absolutely.
Gary Murphy, is that fair?
I think there is some truth in it, certainly. But, you know, we need political parties to operate our governance system.
If you do not have political parties operating in our democracy, you will have in Dáil Éireann every day what you've had today, which you played in the audio
but
clip
earlier
on. But
it depends what the political parties do, and that's Lucinda Creighton's point.
I'm talking about independence. If you have a Dáil full of independents or dominated by a majority of independents, you will have every day in Dáil Éireann what you had today.
First of all, the electorate is sacrosanct, and the electorate will make up its own mind, and it will be presented with political alternatives via Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, whether Fine Gael runs, well, obviously it's an independent party, but whether it kind of has a re-election of the government type campaign, which I suspect it possibly will, but it is up to the people, you know. And I think there will come a time when the government decides to go to the country where I think people will consider much more carefully about voting independent or not. Because I remember way back, we have obviously now close to 40 independents in the Dáil. But if you only go back 10 years, we only had 5 independents in the Dáil after 2007. So in that context, I'm not persuaded that we're going to see this vast swathe of 60 or 70 independents. I think there is some residual strength of the political brand, but it is much weaker than it clearly was even 2 decades ago.
What does the by-elections a number of weeks ago tell us about the need for a political party or not, Mary Manahan?
Well, like, you look at Roscommon, South Leitrim, there were a man from outside the constituency didn't top the poll in the first count but got elected, you know, Michael Fitzmaurice. And he is saying anyway he's not going to be one of these independents that opposes everything. He's saying he's going to, you know, take every piece of legislation, everything that comes before him, and consider it on its merits. So, you know, it's the ruckus that we heard today, it was fascinating because Catherine Murphy was leading the charge there, and she's a very dignified and quite a moderate woman normally, and it was unusual to hear her speaking up like that. But I think this row, Lucinda would probably have better background on this, but it's got to be ideological, because notwithstanding the presence of people, independents like Shane Ross and Stephen Donnelly and so on within that technical group, I think it's fair to say the majority of them are left wing, and they're coming from a particular point of view that they most certainly do not share.
And they don't want the cuckoo
Lucinda
coming into their nest.
Colleagues.
They're afraid of the cuckoo in the guise of Lucinda Creighton, are they not?
I don't know. In fairness, this has been going on now for 6 weeks since I applied to join, and I've tried to be quite patient about it because I do understand that, you know, there is a system in place for the
You're losing patience, aren't you?
Existing members of the technical group. Well, of course I am. Of course. And I'm not, Bernard mentioned, you know, people looking for particular special notice in the Dáil. I'm not. I genuinely am not. I just want to be able to do my job to represent my constituents and the people around the country who I can speak for. I can't speak for everybody else.
There's more than that. When they look in your eye, they see the glint of someone with ambition. And they see the glint.
I should hope so.
They see the glint of someone who
nothing
wants to,
that,
to hoover up TDs into a new party. Isn't that the real agenda?
I don't think that I'm going to be hoovering up Catherine Murphy or Mick Wallister.
There may be one or two who could drag in there. Sorry, they would want to look to their history.
The history of small parties, minor parties in this country is spectacularly a rise and then the disastrous there's a fall and the extinction. It's a bit like the dodo, you know. The PDs, Clonard Public, Clonard Tulum, Democratic Left, and I'm sure I'm missing a couple of others.
But who says all rose and fall?
And I think there is a. I'm not as convinced as others. I have to say.
But who says that the existence of a political party should be just about self-perpetuation? Mm. Why not have a party that makes an impact for 10 or 15 years and genuinely
because
transforms?
Our society and our country rolls on. You know, it's like the Mississippi. It keeps going.
Well, maybe now is the time for a scenario where you decide to opt out, at least I don't think.
I personally don't believe
In the same way that I don't believe that the only objective of a TD should be just simply to get re-elected, I don't believe that the purpose of a political party should be simply to exist forever and ever and to hand on votes from one generation to the next. I did not say that.
The point I'm making is that political parties stand for something and they offer electorates alternatives at election time in terms of governing and forming forming an administration that will basically work. And I think there's nothing wrong with established political parties, you know, staying in existence in perpetuity because they change, they adapt, you know, to changing circumstances.
Well, you raised a very interesting point there. And this is a question that I've raised on this programme a number of times. Political parties, you say, stand for something. Well, do they, Bernard Durkin? What does Fine Gael, what are the ideological principles that Fine Gael stands for?
Well, I believe
for? Give me the ideological principles, I should have said.
I can assure you that I've been a while around.
Wait, no. Bernard Durkin is going to give us the ideological principles of Fine Gael. Why not? You should know them. You should know them like that.
Absolutely. I can tell you, if you just hesitate for a moment, I'll answer your question. The point I want to make is simply this. There are opportunities. People see opportunities. You mentioned opportunities earlier on. Of course there are opportunities. Always at times of economic difficulty and stress, there are always opportunities. And independents and smaller parties have always seized that opportunity in the past in order to hold the balance of power. Now, we've heard a lot of criticism in recent times about civil war politics. I never practiced civil war politics, I can assure you, and I'm in the House a long time.
Would you go into government with Fianna Fáil?
Longer than most people.
Would you go into government with Fianna Fáil?
Ideologically, I don't wish to go into government with Fianna Fáil.
Sounds like civil war politics to me.
No. Well, you see, you're wrong about that, and I'll tell you why. Consensus politics, actually, is the worst of all enemies of the people. Consensus politics is the worst thing you can have. And if you want proof of that, look at all the countries all over Europe where there was no change, no political change at all, and nobody has mentioned this at all. You had a party remaining in government for maybe 20, 25 years, drawing from the opposition, one of the smaller parties that we're talking about, or a few independents, and remaining on
the government. Riddle me this. What is the ideological difference between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil? Answer me that.
Well, I've been through that before, and if you want me to go through it again. I believe that we have long since set down the standard within which we operate in terms of ideology, and we have stuck to that. I think we continue to do so.
Concrete examples. I don't wish.
I, as a member,
this is very disconcerting, Bernard. You can't give me the ideological principles of Fine Gael.
You're disconcerted very easily. I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. The point I wanted to make is this. If you look at the rest of Europe, all the countries that got into difficulty, in trouble, countries that didn't have a change. When the people go to vote, my belief in democracy, I spoke about this in the House back in 1992, that when the people go to vote, if they vote for change, then there should be change.
Well, stop talking about democracy for a second, if you don't mind. Tell me, I'll try this again before I try Niall Collins. Can you not, please, let the hell. Give us the ideological principles of Fine Gael. What do you stand for?
Well, we stand for honest, reliable, and dependable government.
Well, who doesn't stand for that?
Well, now, hold on now for a second. How do you think we arrived where we are in this country?
I explained it a while ago.
We didn't have. We didn't have responsible representation.
John McNulty.
I don't know what he's got to do with the
government. The John McNulty affair, was that honest?
Well, what do you mean what was dishonest about it?
What did you say?
John McNulty is a member of Fine Gael.
You're accused of cronyism.
Well, you call it cronyism, but he was entitled to be nominated for anybody.
Not just me.
Well, you have taken the cudgels up on behalf of somebody that I don't know. So the fact of the matter is this. He is a member of Fine Gael. And if he was a member of the Labour Party or a member of Fianna Fáil or a member of Sinn Féin, as I've said many times before,
it is the prerogative of those parties
to nominate people to fill positions as they want to see.
Is that not honest politics? What does Fianna Fáil stand for, Niall Collins?
Well, you're asking the difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil stands for...
Fine Gael is a new party, isn't it?
A bit of equity and fairness, which we haven't seen from the present government. If you look at which Bernard is taking credit for the economic position in this country at the moment. 60% of the adjustment was done under Fianna Fáil. It was described as a progressive adjustment. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it made an impact. But the people who could afford to pay the most were asked to pay the most. It was done in a fair manner. It's not Niall Collins saying it. It's not Fianna Fáil saying it. Independent economic commentators
have said
that. The
gap between the rich
and
poor during the boom years widened drastically.
And the adjustments that were made in the ERSI have
stated this. The gap between the rich and poor, I'll say it again, yeah, during the boom years when Fianna Fáil was in power, and widened drastically. And you say Fianna Fáil stands for equity and fairness?
I'm talking about the present.
I'm talking about when you were in power.
And I'm talking about the adjustment that we made, the economic adjustment. 60% of what was made to date was made under the previous government, was described as fair and equitable, right? We have a situation where this government, every economic independent commentator have said their budgets, their adjustments have been regressive. We saw it in the recent budget. Okay, we saw it in the recent budget. Who gained the most out of the recent budget? The higher end of society gained.
Okay.
Under the and that is the difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Is that the difference, Mary Menahan?
The numbers show it.
Hold on, no.
It is true.
The ideological principle.
I'm not hallucinating.
Hold on, no. This lady watches Dáil proceedings every single day of her life, much to her delight. Bernard Durkin says Fine Gael stands for honest politics. Niall Collins, Fianna Fáil, equity and fairness.
Do you know one thing that I think illustrates your point nicely is around the time of the last general election, when it was very obvious that Fianna Fáil was going to take one hell of a hammering, Brian Hayes, who's now a Fine Gael MEP, said Fianna Fáil was necessary, you know, necessary for the political system. You know, it's almost as if one cannot exist without the other, or we can't perceive a situation where Fianna Fáil existed without Fine Gael and vice versa. Sinn Féin sometimes knocked those two parties, calling them Tweedledum and Tweedledee, but of course Sinn Féin itself took a bad knock in the recent Dublin by-election when it was outflanked on the left on the water charges, you know. So Sinn Féin is now beginning to understand what it's like to be viewed as a so-called establishment party, which it often levels a charge against Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in that regard.
Is my question, Gary Murphy, extremely unfair? Should TDs, elected TDs for established political parties, be able to rattle off their ideology, their ideological principles? Is that an unfair question?
No, it's not an unfair question at all. But it does go to show the peculiar nature of Irish politics, where we don't have the easy British system. You know, you're a Tory or you're a Labour, mm-hmm. or God help you if you're a Liberal Democrat, or you don't have this. We always have
UKIP.
Italy, France, Germany, where you had that, what we call in political science, the old social democratic, Christian democratic cleavage. We have had a nationalist cleavage here in Ireland out of the Civil War, but it's an important point because, you know, Fianna Fáil was always, I think, slightly more to the left than Fine Gael. Fine Gael had it attracted a sort of lower middle class voter. The voters, I think, Lucinda was talking about earlier on in terms of small business. Fianna Fáil had this chameleon-like ability to attract 40% of the electorate all the time, with the exception of 1992 and then again 1997 when it got 39% before the spectacular collapse. So it's not as easy, I think, in Irish terms to simply pigeonhole ideology. But of course, Micheál Martin now has come across very strongly as saying that Fianna Fáil is much further to the left than Fine Gael. The trouble is there is a vast swathe of people who are even further to the left again. And I think this makes very interesting politics, but it might make very uneasy government come the next general election.
Well, that's a major point, and that's why some people are bemused looking at Irish politics at the moment. Why we're having this discussion this evening, I'll stop you there, Gary Murphy, because somebody has texted 51551 to pay me a compliment. He says, Cormac, you sound like the shower in the Dáil today. One voice, please. I'm going to take that as a compliment. Now, another point from Damien in Lucan for Bernard Durkin of Fine Gael and Niall Collins of Fianna Fáil, and I'll put this to both of you. He says, as Frank Klusky once said, Fine Gael are the same as Fianna Fáil, they just don't do it as well. Bernard.
Well, you know, Frank Klusky, God rest him, he was asked once after an election, you know, what went wrong, Frank? And he said, I just didn't get enough votes. So it is true that there's a lot depends on the attraction that you have from the electorate's point of view. Do you get enough votes? And you stand for something and the people vote accordingly.
But he's saying you're just a poor version of Fianna Fáil.
Well, now, watch this one now. Why is it then that we have, right across Europe, we have variations of different parties to the right, to the left, to the centre, right of centre, left of centre, etc.
Come on, you're talking about none of those countries.
Does anybody suggest that they should all merge up with Fianna Fáil or somebody like Fianna Fáil? So my view is this. We have stood alone from the foundation of this state state as a party. We still continue to stand alone, and we will. And with the Labour Party, we have come together with the Labour Party and Democratic Left before to provide government at a crucial time. I believe that the people make that final choice. I accept it.
Yeah, is that fair? Not but we should you're never, just a more
I want to mention
Fianna Fáil is just a more professional
we should never
version
manipulate,
of Philip Vale. That's
never
what Damien
manipulate
said.
The electorate after the election by putting together a concoction which is not representative of what the electorate decided.
Okay,
Niall. Yeah, well, look, it'll upset some people to finally realise that Fianna Fáil is here for a long time, has been here for a long time, and will be here for a long time into the future. And we recovered significantly at the last local elections. We got the most votes and we won the most seats in the last local election.
Still a major problem,
in
though.
May, right? We got 26% of the vote. We're consistently understated in opinion polling, which happens almost on a weekly basis at the moment. So we are rebuilding.
No TD in Fianna Fáil? No TD in Dublin for Fianna Fáil?
That's old news. We know that since the last election. And we're
anonymous front bench compared to you're part of an anonymous front bench compared.
No, I'm not.
According to Mary Hannafin.
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't come in here and call you an anonymous radio
presenter. I didn't say it.
You know what
I didn't say it. Your former Fianna Fáil minister said it. That's the problem for Fianna Fáil.
Look, you will always have criticism from former people, and indeed from any, you know, people are entitled to criticize. They're entitled to their view, but it's not a view that I agree with.
Okay, we are
making an impact, and we're here. Big time.
Okay, I wouldn't say that, Niall Collins.
Well,
I'm just saying what Mary Hannafin said.
I accept Niall's point about them winning the largest percentage of the vote in the local elections. That was still Fianna Fáil's second worst ever result at a political contest in the history of this estate. And I think what it does show is that we are in a very enormous period of flux. And to disagree slightly with Bernard Duncan, if the people decide true dint of numbers that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is the only alternative for stable government, then I would certainly not write out that as a coalition option. If it can give us a coalition of maybe six or seven a majority in the Dáil, which can get business done, you would have a significant opposition all across the political spectrum from left to right.
But I don't agree with that.
Well, you mightn't agree with it, but that's why if the people decide to do it, there might be no point.
But it's not fair to the people.
But that's what the people have decided.
No, the people have not decided. You see, there's a theory amongst some academics that, you know, you can bring democracy down to mathematics and work it out in numbers. It doesn't work that way. The people make
it's not about mathematics. It's about people voting.
The case you're making is about numbers. What is it convenient for?
It's about stable government.
It's about stable government. So and if the people back in the early 80s, three times went to the polls before we got a stable government, and the people decided, and there was no doubt about the result at the end of the day.
Okay, so Karen in Monaghan says, we could open a shop selling right-wing parties. No need for another one. How self-serving is Lucinda Creighton? Ask her to explain how her new political party's ideology will differ from Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Labour. We touched on that earlier. Will Lucinda Creighton's proposed new political party may or may not abolish water charges? I don't know if that's an issue you wanted to respond to now.
No, I'm not in favour of abolishing water charges.
Okay, I have that. Stephen and Killarney, all that the coalition ever achieved was under the guidance and direction of the Troika. I read that, I'm sorry, before. Honest and Pat and Innes. Honest, reliable and dependable government, according to Bernard Durkin, is what Fine Gael stands for. Is this gentleman deluded? The McNulty affair, Alan Shatter, Shannon reform, abortion, Irish water fiascos are all hallmarks of a dishonest, unreliable and undependable cabal who will be very much on their own after the next election. Now, we focused on Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and other parties, but what about Sinn Féin? What about Gerry Adams' leadership? He came under extreme pressure in the Dáil today, Mary Minnan, especially in relation, obviously, to the Maria Cahill affair. Is Sinn Féin and is Gerry Adams' leadership rocked by this scandal?
Gerry Adams has been leader of Sinn Féin now for three decades, which is extraordinary in Irish politics. All the other parties have seen leaders come and go during that period, but Sinn Féin is not like other parties in the Republic. I think it has got to a position now where it can't visualise life without Gerry Adams at the helm. You know, you put Enda Kenny, Micheál Martin, any other party leader in the position that he's in tonight, and support would undoubtedly be ebbing away. People would be grumbling.
Are there reasons for that?
Of course there are. There is a historical context. You know, he took the party through the troubles and, you know, the parties down here, as they say, didn't have that context. But, you know, he remains, according to TDs and senators that I've spoken to, unassailable, North and South. You know, we may guffaw, but he is compared to Nelson Mandela in his own party, you know, without people laughing. Like, they seriously consider him in that way. I think the problem is for his successor, because there will be a successor at some stage, you know, inevitably. He isn't going to go on forever. I think he's got the year 2016 in his head. Whether or not he gets that far depends on events. But really, you know, power is there to be grabbed in normal circumstances, and it tends to happen when a leader is wounded or weakened, you know, and a peaceful handover doesn't tend to work out too well. I think Brian Cowan or Gordon Brown in Britain could maybe, you know, tell us something about that.
Can you compare Gordon Brown and other political leaders, even in Ireland, to Gerry Adams and Sinn Féin? Because Gary Murphy, people in recent times have been pointing to Sinn Féin and controversies when Gerry Adams, for example, was arrested before the last set of elections. And they said this will damage Sinn Féin. It didn't very much damage Sinn Féin. Will this scandal, this current scandal, damage Gerry Adams and Sinn Féin, in your opinion?
Well, obviously, we'll have to wait and see. But I think it has damaged them, and I think it will damage them. And I think electorally, the outlook for them is somewhat mixed, because we simply don't know how the electorate will react. The electorate in the Republic, who is undecided and is thinking of voting Sinn Féin, is not voting for them on the grounds of Gerry Adams being some sort of Mandela-like figure who brought them to their sort of promised land away from the Troubles. They're going to vote for them on economics. Going to vote for them on money in their pocket. That's exactly what they're going to do. So in that context, I think they face into uncertain times, because there does seem to be this sort of, you know, Sinn Féin-like sort of adoration of the leader, like sort of a cult-like thing. You know, and it does reduce people like Mary Lou MacDonald, who I know well and have great time for, you know, Piers Doherty too. You know, they weren't at their articulate best, let's put it mildly, over the weekend, because this case has in many ways stumped them, and it goes to the heart of what Sinn Féin means. And I think you will see, we saw an example of it in Gerry Holland's column in the Irish Examiner today, a really devastating critique of the sort of cult of Adams. And I think our the government parties here, Fianna Fáil as well, will play on that at a general election.
And if one party fears Sinn Féin, it's Fianna Fáil, Niall Collins. Your party leader has been trying to ramp up the pressure on Gerry Adams over this affair. He was seething. Gerry Adams was seething in the Dáil today, and he accused Micheál Martin and Fine Gael of politicising a very sensitive matter. Now, in terms of trying to damage Sinn Féin, is that the game? Is that the game in the Dáil today and yesterday?
Of course it's not the game, and I think it's wrong of you to even put that to me. Gerry Adams is quite cynically trying to cast himself as a victim here. I mean, let's call it straight here. Sinn Féin are engaged in a cover-up. Maria Cahill is one of their own, and she has come out and she has given an account of the treatment of her by her own. Now, if they're prepared to do that to their own in the north of Ireland, I mean, the rest of the country needs to sit up and wake up as to what Sinn Féin stand for. And it's not just a case that this, you know, was part of the Troubles and clouded all into, you know, all that era up in the north and kind of excuse it away on that basis. Sinn Féin IRA were involved in holding kangaroo courts, in running their own police service, and in moving around and into this jurisdiction child abuse.
But Gerry Adams is adamant that there is no cover-up. That's what he says in the Dáil.
Well, look, I mean, that's not a credible position for Gerry Adams to take. And he was exposed in the Dáil today. And his position has shifted.
Why is it not credible?
His position has shifted from the very, very start of this. They sought to discredit Maria Cahill. You know that they tried to help her. Then he wrote his blog and he acknowledged that it did happen. And then he comes along today and tries to give this kind of broad apology. And when Enda Kenny, to his credit, pinged him on it in the Dáil today, he wouldn't concede that it happened, and he wouldn't deal with the issue. Now, there's a problem here for Sinn Féin, because Mary Lou is compromised in relation to this. I mean, Mary Lou was very quick to come out at the time of the clerical sex abuse, where she said, you know, that the most powerful people in the Catholic Church had damaged children for generations. She was scathing, and rightly so, in relation to the Catholic Church. So you can't have this double standard in Irish politics, which is operating in terms of Sinn Féin. The issue for us down here is decency and equality and treating people fairly. And this jurisdiction has had child abusers moved into it by Sinn Féin IRA, and that is a serious issue of public concern.
Mary Menahan, is that a fair characterisation of what the position is, or is there a politicisation of a very, as I call it, a very sensitive matter?
It is an extremely sensitive matter, and Maria Cahill brought a very serious allegation to the Taoiseach today when she said that Republicans in the North had moved alleged sex abusers into the Republic where they potentially had access to children. That is, you know, an extremely serious allegation which needs to be looked into as a matter of urgency. But yes, I think there is a little bit of playing politics with this issue. I don't think it's entirely edifying to see Maria Cahill being photographed with various leaders. Now, I'm not just talking in the Republic, I'm talking North as well with Sinn Féin's political opponents. You know, I'm just not entirely comfortable with it. In terms of Sinn Féin is undoubtedly scrambling. You know, they are putting out statements at odd times of night. You know, they're normally so slick and sophisticated and on top of every story, and that has just, you know, the ground is slipping from underneath them now. Personally, I don't think it's going to do their core vote any harm. I think potentially where it hurts them is they're obviously an ambitious party. They're riding high in the polls at the minute. They want to expand, and they know they've got a problem with women. They're the most popular party with men at the minute, but they've struggled to attract the female vote. And I think Mary Lou McDonald was doing a lot to help that. A lot of women look up to her, respect her indisputable abilities in debate and so on. But, you know, I think she has damaged herself a little by what she has said about Maria Cahill, when she says, like all the Sinn Féin representatives have said, and perhaps it's unfair to focus on the woman, but I think inevitably that will happen in such a thing, when she says that she believes that Maria Cahill was abused, but essentially doesn't believe anything else she has said.
Yeah, but can I put a point to you that a Sinn Féin TD made to me today, Lucinda Creighton? I said, do you believe Maria Cahill that she was assaulted? And also, do you believe her in relation to the IRA investigation and the kangaroo courts? He said, I believe her in relation to her being assaulted. Mm. He was non-committal on the investigation and the kangaroo courts. Yeah. The point he made was that four men were acquitted. And he said, for me to accept that there was a Republican-style investigation and a kangaroo court would be equal to a media conviction, words of that type. Is that credible in any way?
Well, I mean, it's not surprising, because that is the official line now. And I mean, I find it interesting when I talk to members of Sinn Féin around the Oireachtas. I mean, they almost pride themselves on their sort of grassroots democracy. You know, they don't have a parliamentary party. They take all their decisions through the Ordesh, and, you know, they are the ultimate in democratic decision making, or so they'd have you believe, when in fact the reality is that it is an entirely centralised operation. And as Cillian Ford has said, and I served on Dublin City Council with Cillian, who's an ex-member of Sinn Féin, you know, he has spoken on a number of occasions about just the kind of autocracy in the party. And I saw it myself. I saw it where members of the City Council were told, you know, hard-working councillors who had been elected in their own right, who were told almost overnight, you shall be standing down and here's who shall be replacing you. And this is how they function. So
Since they're not here, but I hear in my ears Sinn Féin supporters shouting at you right now, saying you're a victim of Fine Gael centralised power.
Well, of course, I know. But I mean, my point is that they try to suggest that they're somehow different, and they're not. They're exactly the same as all of the other parties, except worse. And when it comes to Maria Cahill, I think that the story and the Sinn Féin position has evolved over the last 5 or 6 days. And I think Niall has actually outlined it very well. You know, the position initially was that, you know, there was no such problem. Then they acknowledged that there was a general problem, but that in Maria Cahill's case, it wasn't true. And that is now the current version. So, you know, in a few days' time, there probably will be a disclosure that, in fact, what she's saying is entirely true. And what is most disturbing is that the so-called new generation, the newer members who are supposed to be independent-minded and so on, particularly Mary Lou McDonald, but also Piers Doherty and a number of others that I've heard in the media over the last few days, are all trotting out the same lines without questioning.
Okay, Bernard Durkin.
Yeah, well, I think this is a unique situation. I think that it is much more serious than anything that has affected Sinn Féin previously. I think that it will impact in a very serious way on the entire party and the organisation. Because the general public, many of the things that happened in the past that other political parties raised questions about, many horrendous things that happened in the past, were always answered in the way that there was a war situation, there was a desperate situation, and strange things happened then. And I've even heard that said, you know, about the whole during the Troubles and comparisons made with the War of Independence. Of course, there was one big difference. There was a mandate in 1918, general election 1918, that gave a mandate of sorts. So there was no mandate for some of the other things that happened, whether we like it or not.
I know, but you said this is different. Do you think this is different? Do you think it's more serious than, for example, the Disappeared?
Well, you see, those are the things I was referring to. They didn't seem to impact anyway. They were brushed aside on the basis that it was a war situation, things like that happen in war. This is not one of the things that's going to be brushed aside so easily. And that's why I say not only will it impact Jerry Adams and Mary Lou McDonald, but it'll impact and the younger members of the party as well, because it would appear that they knew something about what the things that did happen and were prepared to go along with it. Now, this is a no-no issue, to my mind, is a no-no issue insofar as many Irish people are concerned, by virtue of the controversies that surrounded child sex abuse and abuse of women in this country for the last 20 years. There was everybody, all political organisations, condemned, and rightly condemned, as did Sinn Féin themselves. It would appear that a certain amount of tolerance was given to certain issues which were not acceptable in any shape or form.
Okay.
And as a result of that, this is the reaction.
You have the last word on that one. Before we finish up this evening, we have the tomorrow morning's front pages, but listen to, put on your cans, put on your headphones, listen to John Tierney of Irish Water. He was asked before, outside Leinster House, I think, about the bonus culture within Irish Water and salaries within Irish Water. Here's what he had to say.
My staff are doing a fantastic job for the people, and it is actually a humbling experience to see the work they're doing on behalf of the people.
Niall Collins, what do you make of that? Very, very briefly.
I think the whole Irish Water concept was completely flawed from the outset. My party said this at the time. It was a Fine Gael conceived concept since their 2009 policy document. It was the wrong option to take, and I think the people are now very, very annoyed at the government in relation to it, and the government need to step back from it as soon as they can.
John Tierney's comments, Bernard Durkin?
Well, John Tierney's comments was recognising the difficult job that Irish Water has to do. The fact of the matter is that it takes about $2 billion to put in place a proper water system that is reliable, that is dependable, and that is of a quality that is required by international standards in this country.
Lucinda Creighton, in the boom time, we could have done something.
Nothing was done about it.
That's not
it.
The concept of a
water authority, I think, was a good one. But we now have a water authority that is the equivalent of the HSE. It has 2,000 too many staff. It is uncontrollable. And there is a major problem. And this government really needs to start taking responsibility for this. The minister has ridden off into the sunset, nowhere to be seen in Brussels for the next 5 years. Meanwhile, you know, this government seems to be incapable of holding Irish Water to account.
Okay, I won't ask you about the comments, Mariana. Is it humbling to watch your colleagues in the Irish Times work as hard? Is it also humbling for you? Is it also, he said it's humbling to watch his colleagues in Irish Water work that hard.
Oh, sorry.
Is the same true in the Irish Times, I'm saying?
Of course.
Is the same true in DCU, is it?
Of my students.
Yeah, okay, well, you put them to the pin of their collar. Front page of the Irish Examiner, Kenny, Sinn Féin must tell if rapists were sent to the south. Irish Water boss Tierney vows to keep his job. The Herald leads with taxi driver is fugitive drug baron. And I'm just reading the next one. Fantastic water staff, says the headline there. The Irish Daily Star, face of Mary Boyle, arrest man, 64-year-old quiz, 37 years after 6-year-old went missing. Lucinda Creighton, Niall Collins, Bernard Durkin, Mary Menahan, Agus and Tullive, Gary Murphy as DCU. Wim Shippings on Wedding, Cugin Law Mora, Slán Agus Banach.